Welcome to the Sinister Sisters podcast. I'm Felicia.
I'm Lauren.
We're best friends.
And we like spooky stuff.
Oh, yeah. And we took a little break, right? I think.
Yes, we did take a break, unfortunately.
Time is a myth, so it's hard for me to say. But yeah, but I'm happy to be back.
Me too. I feel bad. This time around, it was my fault, everyone. I was moving.
It was my fault.
I was traveling. I don't know. It's all gray.
Well, yes. It's every time of year, it's a busy time of year, no matter the time of year. So it's just been a busy time of year, everybody.
We're just going to say we're very busy. We try our best here.
That's true. You did just move. Lauren gave me a little house tour. It's adorable. And I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. I feel really happy.
Is this kind of like your first backyard?
My first backyard. My first house.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. It's wild.
You're an adult. You're an adult, but you're still just a baby.
No. I mean, no. But I do feel like I'm playing house in a weird way.
Like, oh my God, I totally know what you mean. But is that fun? Does it feel fun?
Yeah. It feels fun. Yeah. But I
have you like baked cookies
or something? No, I should. I should bake cookies and give them to the neighborhood.
Yes. Or actually, they should be bringing you cookies because you're the new neighbor. But I mean, yes. I'm just saying.
I know. Actually, we did have our friends Megan and Brandon like stopped by because they remembered the date that we were moving and remembered our address. It was so sweet. I know.
People like that exist?
Exactly.
I am your best friend and I don't know that I would do that.
It was so sweet. They came over and it was so funny because they brought like, I don't know why they have this like inside joke with James about bananas. I don't know where it started. But so they brought him bananas and then they have this joke because he also just recently went keto again. It's very annoying to me. I love you, James, but I hate the keto thing. But so he ate a raw hot dog in front of Megan and she was so horrified. Like not raw, but like no bun.
No, I know what you mean.
What am I saying? Yeah. And so he
naked.
Ate his hot dog in front of her.
A naked dog.
Exactly. And she was horrified. And so they brought him bananas and hot dogs. And they brought me this giant, beautiful baguette. And I was thrilled.
That's very nice. That's beautiful.
It was good. But I did also – I'm going to tell this story so fast because it's so classic neighborhood.
Go for it.
I was walking Rufus for approximately 5 minutes, like a quick walk. And I was like, oh, no, it's too hot. I got to take him home. And an old man, like two doors down – was like, you better not be walking your dog in this heat. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm two doors away. I'm so sorry. I stepped outside for 5 seconds.
I'm so sorry.
Terrible idea. And then he's like, yeah, you should take your shoes off and walk barefoot the rest of the way just to see if you can handle it.
Damn. I mean, I do know the pavement is bad for doggy paw. So it's like, I feel him, but that is like kind of intense. Cause you were taking him home, but I guess he doesn't know that. But
I know. I was like, I've been out here for 5 minutes. I'm turning around. I'm so sorry. And then I was like, I'm actually, or he like yelled. And then he was like, wait, are you my new neighbor? And I was like, yes, I'm like two doors down from you. I'm literally, that's my house right there. And he was like, oh my gosh, like, hi, I'm whatever, like, so nice to meet you, shook my hand. And then he's like, I have a dog too, like, look at my dog. I'm like, okay. And then he goes, this is scary, he goes, you have a husband and a daughter about 8? And I said,
uh-oh.
I said yes. And then I was like, yes. And he was like, well, I'll come over and like formally introduce myself to y'all like later, but let me get you some recycling bags. I have some extra recycling bags. Come on
in. My mind is exploding right now.
All of it. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'll wait here. He goes and gets the recycling bags and hands me this giant roll of like Richardson recycling bags that I have to use to put my recycling.
Lauren, dear listeners, I just want to express, if you have never lived in New York City, the things that Lauren is saying right now, as someone that is now in Texas, coming from living in New York City, it's just unimaginable. These things are unimaginable.
I mean, all of
that's insane.
Someone would yell at you.
I don't even know my neighbor's names. I literally don't know their names.
Right. I can't. And there's two Facebook groups that we're now a part of. It's insane.
No. Oh my God. Facebook group. Oh my God.
You know,
You
I just
really
wanted the
are.
tea.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like, who's mad at who? Who's selling furniture? Who's getting divorced?
Is anyone sleeping with each other?
Who is liking too many of the person's comments in the Facebook group?
Who's the
Who's
most
giving the
active
winky
in the Facebook
faces?
group? Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's
This is amazing.
also silly. Anyway, that's my story. But I did not go inside. I stayed
Good for
outside the
you.
house, so I
Good
didn't
for
get
you.
murdered.
That's wonderful. That's what. See, you know, you've seen enough true crime to know you don't go in that house.
Exactly. That's why we
And
do this
Rufus, no offense,
podcast.
Rufus. Rufus is too small to protect you.
No, he could not. He would be like, have at her. No, he wouldn't. Anyway,
Oh.
that's my story. But do you have any recommendations this week?
You know, I have no idea. Well, I am watching the new season of Ma of what two Gordon Ramsay moments here. New
Love.
season of MasterChef. It's they're trying to make themes now because it's been around so long. The theme is like by section of the US, so like cooks from the Northeast, cooks from the South, cooks from the West Coast, whatever. But it
I
is
love
very good
it.
so far. And then I'm watching the other Gordon Ramsay show that's a new one. I forgot what it's called, but it's basically like Shark Tank with Gordon Ramsay, where he is like got these people that have big food related business ventures, and then he puts them through all these challenges, and then at the end he like invests $250,000 in their business.
That's so
So
cool.
yeah, I mean, it's not as good as MasterChef, but it's something to do
Oh.
when the MasterChef is not on. I did just start watching season two of Yellow Jackets. I'm not very far yet.
Yes.
And but I also like had totally forgot everything that happened. So then
Yeah.
I was like Googling recap stuff because I was like, I forgot everything.
I feel you. I couldn't really remember when I started to. But I liked the season. That was gonna be one of my recommendations because
Oh,
we
okay.
finished it.
Oh, okay.
It's like not as good as season one for sure. I think it's just
Yeah.
hard to like keep up in that
Things
way.
never are.
No, but I just love the characters that I'm like, I'm all in. I'm here. I love
Yeah.
it.
The characters, the actors are amazing.
And Elijah
And
Wood's just so fun.
yeah, I loved and when I saw him come up, I was like, oh, okay. Have you heard of this series? I haven't watched it yet, but Eddie, our friend Eddie, recommended it. And that is this show Swarm.
No.
Okay. I think it's let me see what it's on. But he said it's like a fantastic, like short. It says it's a comedy horror series.
Ooh.
And it follows Dre, a young woman whose obsession with a pop star takes a dark turn. Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime.
Nice. I'll
But
definitely
yeah,
check it
apparently
out.
it's really great. So I'm gonna watch that sometime this week or next week, I
I
guess.
love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to report back. I did also see The Boogeyman, which
Oh,
I
how was
also
it?
really liked.
Oh,
I don't
good.
know. It's
Yeah.
like it's the host guys, right? Am I mixing up
Is
movies?
it?
I
No.
think it's the host guys. No, it is. Yeah, it's the director of Host.
Why did I?
And
Oh, it's Rob Savage. Good for him.
yeah. But
Man,
it
he's
so
been
like
freaking busy.
yeah, I
Because
was
he
gonna
did this
say
host dash cam. Oh, well, I get, yeah, I see now. Sorry, go
But
ahead.
it's I think like the only thing that I thought was like a little disappointing is like it's not like I don't know, it's not like a new out of the box kind of idea. Like it's pretty much what it looks like in the trailer, which is basically like, you know, a little girl
Yeah.
thinks she's seeing the boogeyman, her dad is like it's not real, and then like it is a real monster basically.
Wow,
But I
classic
also just
tale.
really like, yeah, right? I like Chris Messina a lot, and I like the girl that plays young Juliette Lewis from Yellow Jackets is the main like
Oh.
teen girl.
Oh,
Yeah, her
yeah, I like
name's
her too.
Sophie
Oh, I love
Thatcher.
this girl. She's such a good face. I know that's a weird thing to say, but
No, she has such a
like
good
her
face. I
face is very
totally get
interesting to
it.
look at. Yeah.
And then the little girl is the one that plays young Carrie Fisher in all the new Star Wars stuff. She plays like young Princess Leia. So she's
Oh,
great.
wow.
Yeah,
Okay.
so
Yeah, I
I
need to
really
go see
liked the
it.
cast. Yeah, I thought it was good. It's not gonna like blow your mind, but I thought it was scary at times and good acting and
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, I haven't really seen any horror movies in a minute, so I really do need to dive back in and see what's come out in like the last 6 months because I
Yeah.
haven't seen anything. So,
And desperately, I'm like so excited for Don't Talk to Me. Or no, Talk to Me. Sorry, not Don't.
oh yeah, wait. I heard about that one. Who is that one? What is Talk to Me?
No, it's the one that's I'm sure you've seen trailers. It's like a hand, this like mummified hand that they're like basically doing a Ouija board kind of thing with, where you hold on to the hand and like try to talk to people from the other side, and it like
Oh,
kind of
okay.
possesses people seemingly. You can
No, I
only
haven't seen
hold it
anything
for
about
so long.
this.
You haven't seen anything? I feel like it's
Well,
been
I don't see anything at all anymore because that's my school life
Yeah.
is taken over everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to see this too. I want to see it all.
I'll send you the trailer after this, and like it is a genuinely terrifying trailer.
Oh, good. I can't wait. I just looked. It looks like at least one of the guys worked in the camera department on The Babadook, so that looks interesting.
Oh, I like
One of the
that.
directors, I guess. Oh, they're directing Brothers. Ooh, fun.
We always like brothers directing.
Yeah, sure.
Amazing.
Wait,
All
they
right.
have one.
Oh.
Wait, they sorry, who are these people? The Philippou, sorry if I'm saying that wrong, brothers have attracted more than 1.5 billion views on their YouTube channel, and they have 6.5 million
Oh.
subscribers.
All right. Well, we gotta check it out.
Yeah, I'm like, do they talk about scary things or like.
I didn't know this part of all of this.
Yeah, they're YouTubers.
Oh my
Okay.
gosh, maybe.
Well, sorry. I need to deep
Yeah.
dive this later. I'm sorry, I'm wasting time now.
I didn't know any of this either. They're Australian. So cool.
Okay. Should I get going here?
Yeah, let's do it.
So today I'm going to be covering something that is in progress right now. We're recording this on June 21st, Wednesday. And by the time this comes out on Monday, I'm sure a lot will have changed. So I'm sorry for that in advance. But I'm talking about the submarine that was looking at the remains of the Titanic on Sunday and has since gone missing, and they have not been able to locate it yet. So we have a missing submarine. It's called the Titan. So basically, I'm just going to go with what we know so far. This submarine was made by a company called OceanGate. And on Sunday, they started basically what was supposed to be a 7-day adventure to go into the sea to look at the Titanic and explore it. Okay. There was five people on board. There are five people on board, excuse
Oh
me.
my gosh, I didn't realize it was so small.
It's really small. And when you
Oh.
look up videos of how small it is, so it's only 21 feet long.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. And so basically the like what they do on with what OceanGate does is they take you from St. John's, Canada, where this company is based. It's in Newfoundland. The day one, and I'm pulling this off their website. So they have like the full, like I pulled up the website. They still have the itinerary up for this
My God.
expedition that was basically, a disaster now. So it's supposed to be 8 days and 7 nights, max 6 people, minimum age 17. And it is a deep ocean, Atlantic Ocean trip to go look at the wreckage of the Titanic.
Wow.
The Titanic is about 380 miles offshore and 3,800 meters below the surface. And it's an 8-day expedition. Day one, you leave St. John's, you meet your expedition crew, you board the vessel. And day two, you travel across the North Atlantic to basically get to the dive site. And then by day three, you should be taking your Titanic dive. So about they got to this part, this point, about an hour and 45 minutes after they went into the ocean, they lost contact.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So.
And I'm assuming that doesn't normally happen.
No. So it's not clear exactly what's gone wrong. This is like, there's like so many things at play right now. One, they don't know why they've lost contact and they don't know how to find them. So just to give some perspective here, the Titanic ruins are like, in terms of like how deep into the ocean they are, is like the length, is like the length of, or the height of 9 Empire State Buildings. That is how deep they are in the ocean.
Oof.
Yeah. So where they are, it's very deep. So where they are, first of all, there's like immense ocean pressure, like could crush you and you wouldn't even know you died. It's also pitch black. Total darkness.
Like, I know. That's a nightmare. That's
this
so
is
scary.
Literally, I think that's why, like, I just had to start the story over because I kind of freaked out. So you probably missed that part if Lauren cut it out. So thank you for that. But so I am like a little claustrophobic for various reasons, but this situation is literally like my greatest fear.
Yeah.
Like I would never get into this sub if it wasn't going in the ocean. Like I said, it's a 21-foot submarine with 5 people in it, and they're all cramped in there together. Like they're
terrible.
There's no seats, okay? Like there's no seats. They're all just sitting on the floor in this thing. They were supposed to go down, look at the Titanic, and come back up. And they have now been stuck in the depths of the ocean in this tiny little space for days.
Nope.
I know. So.
Nope.
In terms of, and this is what's so like pressing right now. So they basically had 96 hours worth of oxygen when they left on Sunday. As of yesterday, I guess they had like 40 hours left. And so by tomorrow, there will basically be no hope if they don't find them by tomorrow.
Yeah. That is so sad.
It really is. And there's not even, so this is something else like I hadn't even considered until I was like researching. But in terms of like them trying to rescue these people, it's already like nearly impossible. Because even if they found them, which is like a needle in a haystack. I the search area is double the size of the state of Connecticut. The search area is double the size of the state of Connecticut and however many freaking Empire State Buildings, 9 Empire State Buildings down.
And so 21 feet is what they're looking for.
Yeah, in pitch black. And so them trying to find them is already just feels impossible. And even if they did, they would have to get the sub all the way to the surface to get the people out of it. Because when they're at that level of immense pressure, it's not like they can go down there and transfer the passengers from the sub into another sub. It's not possible. They had to be bolted in when they were above water and then sent down. And they would have to be unbolted. So it's like, even if they got them out, it's possible that they're already like been deprived of oxygen and dead. Yeah. So it's just this hellish nightmare. In terms of the people on board, so to take this expedition, per person costs $250,000.
Holy.
To take this 8-day expedition. So it is like, not everyone's doing this.
Caliber of person, or whatever. You have to have some kind of wealth.
Yeah. So the people on board, 5 people. One is a British billionaire. One is one of Pakistan's richest men and his son, who's like a young guy.
No.
A French like explorer, like literally that's his title, and then the CEO of OceanGate who made the submarine.
Oh no.
So, oh, and something else that is also I was looking up is the fact that like when you're that deep under the ocean, also compasses don't work. So if you lose any kind of signal, it's not even like you could figure out where you were or like in my head, like what's up and down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I just can't even freaking imagine it. So there has the one time, I mean, this is so small. One tiny bit of hope that they had, I think yesterday, was that they heard some banging noises that were caught on a sonar that they think could possibly be from the sub of them hitting the thing, trying to make noise that the sonar machine could catch.
Oh my God.
But in my head, I'm like, that could be freaking anything. Like, I'm like, is anything. That something they're just telling the public to like, be like, there's hope. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, that does feel like it could be anything.
Yeah. Oh, the other thing I forgot to mention too is, so besides the lack of oxygen and the no light and the pressure, it's also like ice cold down there. So there's also a version which they also like freeze to death. So once again, God. It's just the worst
have everything.
Possible thing. So a couple of theories so far of what potentially could have happened. One is that the submarine got tangled in the remains of the Titanic somehow. Like it got caught on something and it couldn't get off.
That's scary.
I know. Another option, which this is like dark, but it's possible, is that the vessel actually may have imploded under the pressure of the ocean, which would have crushed the submarine and everyone inside it immediately. So in terms of like, I mean, in terms of ways to go, I think that would probably be the ideal versus slowly losing oxygen.
Yeah, I mean, both are just so horrifying, but I'm like a slow, painful, ugh.
Yeah, I'd be like, take me fast rather than a slow, painful, terrified death.
Yes.
Yeah. So on Sunday night, the submarine was already overdue, and in its last known position, there was some kind of message that says, vessels in vicinity requested to keep a sharp lookout, assist if possible. But that was the alert message that I guess was sent. Oh, I also wanted to read this part. So, oh God, it's just like, looking at their website about like what this was supposed to be and then what happened is so horrible. But
oh my God. Yeah.
So yeah. It says once the submarine is launched, you will begin to see alien-like life forms whiz by the viewpoint as you sink deeper and deeper into the ocean. So there's like a big glass wall basically so that you can like see everything. So you're supposed to like see this like amazing view and be able to see the Titanic, all the stuff. And the descent takes approximately 2 hours. So in terms of like losing contact after an hour and 45 minutes, it was like they were almost to the bottom, probably. This is my assumption from reading what's on the website. And then it says you may assist the pilot with comms and tracking, take notes for the science team about what you see outside the viewport. So they're trying to make it like you as the person that's paid to be here are like an explorer. Mm-hmm. Like that's the kind of like the vibe of the thing.
Yeah.
But then it says, you could also watch a movie or eat lunch. There's a private toilet at the front of the sub if nature calls. Like, it's, like, so casual. You know what I mean? Like, they make it seem like it's supposed to be this, like, fun, lighthearted, like, thing. Like, and I know it costs $250,000, but they make it sound like a ride and not something that's, like, incredibly dangerous. So, in terms of blame, of course, people are starting to be like, who's to blame for this? The OceanGate CEO, there are some articles and interviews with him that are a little sus. So he has mentioned continually that he believes that the submarine is obscenely safe to the point that it's like halting progress. Like, he's saying that the regulations around safety protocols for the submarine are actually too harsh for what he wants to do. And they even had somebody quit recently because they said it was, they were being a little unsafe, they thought. So, oh, and also, excuse me, three previous voyages were canceled of this trip because of structural fatigue, which basically meant that the submarine couldn't handle the submarine pressure, like,
couldn't take
of the
it.
Ocean. It wasn't stable. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's just like, yeah, it just freaking scares me to no end. And it's just horrible. Like, and you know what it made me think of? Do you know how people have been talking about going to space and, like, very rich people being able to pay to go to space? It's like, I feel like the ocean is space to me. Like, it's the same thing, basically.
Yep.
So
up or down.
Like, in my brain, up or down, which way? And I'm just like, I feel like we're going to have the same situation where people that are not totally privy to the dangers that they're embarking on are trying to pay $250,000 or $1 million to have a once in a lifetime or one in a billion experience for something that is, like, potentially incredibly dangerous, but it's being sold like, oh, you're going to go explore space. Oh, you're going to go. And it's like an attraction.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't think so. I don't know. It freaks me out.
No, and like the irony of, like, the Titanic didn't have enough lifeboats and, like, you know, all of their things that were, like, this was not handled correctly or safely. And it's like, let's go look at the Titanic in a not safe, not thought out way.
Exactly. Exactly.
You'd think we'd learn.
No, we never do. And I feel like, I don't know. Part of me wants to be, like, blaming people, like, hungry for money, but also, like, people hungry for feeling like they're the ones that did something incredible. Like, I'm thinking about the CEO, and I'm just thinking about, like, him being like, I want to make progress despite
the safety
potential destruction. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, I mean, that's basically what we know so far. Oh, so one tidbit that is going around on the internet that I do want to mention really quick is the fact that, like, this entire submarine is basically in control with the Xbox controller.
Yes,
which I know sounds insane. From doing a little bit of research, it seems like that type of controller is actually pretty standard in terms of these types of vehicles and even, like, other military grade vehicles, just because the way they're designed is, like, incredibly intuitive, and apparently it's not unheard of. So when I first saw that, I was like, that sounds like a joke that the submarine would be driven by an Xbox controller, but I think it is actually not as crazy.
Not that wild.
Yeah. Or it's not. Yeah. It's industry standard in a way.
That's so interesting.
I know. But also, like, is that true? I don't know. That's just what one side told me, so I don't know.
Honestly, that's, like, the hardest thing about, these stories, especially in real time, where it's like, we don't actually, you know, is it partially, like, what we're being filtered, you know, to believe?
Yeah. And they don't know. Like, they're all freaking out. Everyone who's looking and everyone that's trying to give press statements, I mean, they're freaking out. Like, they don't, they don't know. They don't know where they are. And they're looking and they're looking and they're looking. But it's like, there's not enough technology and manpower and money to do a rescue effort for this. Like, and I know that sounds horrible, but it's like, it's not really possible to be able to do in 96 hours.
Right.
Like, it's literally, like, doomed. And I hope I'm wrong.
That's so sad.
I hope I'm wrong. Yeah. But then it's also, like, it's also possible they'll never find it.
Right. Which that's is what also I was going to say. There's probably, like, a chance that, they just won't ever find it.
Yeah. And after a certain point, they'll have to give up because they'll know that there's no hope for life. There's no hope for, like, a rescue. And at a certain point, it's like, how much manpower and everything is going to keep going into this after a certain amount of time. I just feel like I don't even know if it's like, I think the Marines are involved, but I don't know because it's a Canadian vessel, but I'm not exactly sure like who's in charge of the search efforts. But at a certain point, like some government's going to say that's enough. We're going to stop paying for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's just like the lay of the land and it sucks, but I'm really curious to see what's going to happen over the next like 24 hours. And I don't know. And I guess by the time this episode comes out, people are going to be listening and be like, psh, old news, you know?
No, I was like, should I try to rush about it?
But yeah, but that's basically all we have so far.
So interesting. It's so devastating, obviously, but I will be interested to see what we find out or what information we have.
Yeah.
From here.
Me too. Me too.
Okay. I'm going to try to lighten up the mood a little.
Yeah, that's great. Also, I felt like I was just like a newscaster. Like, okay. I felt like I was like giving newscaster. I don't know if you felt that.
You were. You were. Thank you. You were giving newscaster to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so my idea this week came from Charlotte. I guess I'll just say Charlotte B, who's one of our like I think seemingly newer fans. She was one of the one. She was the one that wrote me that really sweet email, Felicia.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So I'm stealing this idea from her this week. But so she said she was always really interested in, you know, scared of Nordic urban legends and folklore, and I really don't think we've ever done anything kind of in that territory.
I don't think so.
So this week I'm going to be doing the Draugr, which is an undead creature from, you know, Nordic, Scandinavian kind of literature, folk tales. It feels, you know, maybe reminiscent of other things we've talked about in the past, but it's defined on Wikipedia as a ghost, spirit, especially the dead inhabitant of a cairn, which is a man-made stone, a man-made stone mountain tower grave. So basically there's a big stone grave. I know. So like, basically like, if you...
Like a mausoleum.
Yeah, like a big, it's like a big stone tower over like the grave, I guess.
Got it. Okay.
Or I don't know if the body's in it. That's actually a good question.
It might just be like a giant gravestone.
I think so because versus a tomb. The body's usually as a marker or as a burial mound.
Okay,
so I think body underneath, but the structure itself looks so cool. Also, this is one of the first articles that comes up is what are rock cairns and why you shouldn't build them.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay. Is it because of this creature? But anyway, so this Draugr is not really like normally depicted as ghosts from what I could find, or like not like that kind of like what we have in our heads as ghosts. It's definitely more often a reanimated corpse, more like a zombie.
Mm.
So there are some characteristics about them specifically. So they possess superhuman strength. They are normally pretty gross to look at, typically black or blue, kind of like a corpse. And they normally have this lovely, foul, decaying stench about them. So they also traditionally have magical abilities, unlike zombies. They can shapeshift in some stories. They can control the weather, see into the future. They're definitely like more mystical and they're not like mindless like zombies. Mm. You know, they have more skills, and they're normally like in most of the stories it seems like they're normally human level intelligence. Obviously like
they're more, like very conscious.
Yes, very conscious, maybe more angry and hateful. And I don't really know that they talk. So one specific story that I'm going to talk about is the undead Killer Rop of Laxdæla saga, which is like one of the Icelandic sagas. So this corpse would not stay put in his burial place. He would roam around his farmstead, menacing the living. And his ghost was capable of transforming, get ready for this, into a seal with,
Oh,
I know, cute,
that is cute.
with human-like eyes. And it appeared before Thorsten the Black. So the seal came by this man, Thorsten the Black's pirate ship, and sunk the ship,
By
which prevented,
himself?
yes, just this crazy corpse-like
Seal.
seal.
Did you ever see that
So,
Seal movie in the 90s? What was that Seal movie?
wait, no.
You know what I'm talking
A seal movie? Not like a horror movie.
about? No, it's like a fun kids movie.
About a seal?
Andre. Andre.
No.
The movie's called Andre. You never saw this? Oh my God. Look it
No.
up.
Oh my gosh, it looks so cute. Like Flipper time. Oh,
It's a
very
good time.
cute.
It's a seal in
All right.
sunglasses and a little hat. It's good stuff.
I love it.
Back to you, Lauren.
Back to me. So, yeah, so the seal prevented, Thorsten the Black from getting to his farmstead. And this like ability to shape shift, particularly them changing into seals, seems like it's mostly in the Icelandic versions of the story or versions of this creature. Another magical ability they sometimes have is to be able to enter the dreams of the living, sort of
Wow.
Inception style.
Cool.
So they'll frequently, show up in their dreams and then leave behind some kind of gift so that the living person will like see the gift and understand why they came to visit. And then on the dark side, they also have the ability to curse a victim or the ability to bring disease to a village, even creating temporary darkness during the daytime. So they're pretty powerful, I would say. They also can sometimes kill people just with bad luck. So I guess like, causing something freak or, related to bad luck to happen to them. But a draugr's presence, you might know that they're around because there's normally some kind of glowing light, like foxfire, which I didn't know what foxfire was, so I looked it up. And that's like a bioluminescence that some mushrooms create, basically. And so you might see this like glowing presence, and the fire is supposed to like be representative of forming a barrier between the land of the living and the land of the dead, which I think is very cool. So you might see that, which is like a sign that they're around. Their most incredible power is that like in some versions of the story too, they're immune to any weapons. So you must
Ooh.
be, yeah, pretty good. So you must be some kind of hero that like you basically have to like drag the draugr back to its grave, which will defeat it,
Wow.
but you can't use weapons on it. There are some stories where iron can supposedly injure it. And then in some versions, you got to do the old Twilight sort of thing where you cut off the head and burn the body. And then you have
Oh,
to,
yeah.
yep, right. And then in this, the last step is dumping the ashes into the sea. So, how are they formed, you might ask? So, I mentioned that they're like, traditionally in this stone kind of grave, but really any mean or nasty or greedy person can become a draugr. So they're normally motivated by envy and greed, kind of that feeling of like they're envious of the living because they get to keep living. And they do have an insatiable appetite. So I think in some versions they do actually eat people. And they would like attack people coming to their grave. So any grave robbers, but it's not, their victims aren't limited to just people coming to their graves. So they will go after livestock. They'll either like ride, this is crazy to me too. They'll either ride like cows or horses to death by just like riding them. Or some they'll, I know, it's pretty horrifying. Shepherds were also common victims of the draugr. And animals also might just be driven mad just from the creature being around. But they definitely delight in suffering. They definitely cause trauma and pain to their victims. They aren't just quick killers. In some stories, they sit on the chests of their victims so that they'll like just like suffocate, bringing them like right to suffocation over and over. Sorry, Felicia, that's sort of targeted. But
Go.
the main indication that a deceased person will become a draugr is that the corpse is not in a horizontal position, which I feel like we've seen in other stories before. Like if you come back and the corpse is standing upright or is in a sitting position, means that like the dragger might return. And again, like I know I've been sort of vague about this, and that's because it is vague in the different stories. Like sometimes it is actually the corpse, and sometimes there are versions where like you have to like kill the corpse in order to also kill the dragger.
Like it's a separate entity, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's like sometimes it's just like a more like spirity, like I look like an animated corpse, but my body is actually like still exists somewhere. And so, you know, I think the goal for all of these creatures is always to like try to prevent them. So there are some interesting different like ways that you can prevent them from ever forming. So traditionally, a pair of open iron scissors was placed on the chest of, you know, a recently deceased person. And then straws or twigs might be hidden among their clothes. They also would tie their big toes together or drive needles through the soles of their feet in order to keep the dead from not being able to walk. I always love like all those parts of the stories. Like I'm always like, it's so wild to me that people went through all these steps like to like make sure the body stayed dead.
Yeah, totally.
The coffin also is like, so the coffin was to be lifted and lowered in three different directions as it was carried from the house to like wherever you were burying the body, so that they wouldn't be able to find their way out of the like wherever they're being buried, which I thought was interesting too. And then this is also pretty cool. The most effective means of preventing them was by creating this like corpse door, which is a special door through which like the corpse was carried feet first with people surrounding it so that the corpse couldn't see where it was going. And then the door was then bricked up so that you couldn't, so that it couldn't return. So this was like a belief that began in Denmark and then spread through the Norse culture, founded on like this idea that like the body could only leave the way that it entered. So if you, you know, bricked it up, it would be confused and wouldn't be able to come back. So as time kind of went on, it's interesting to see, as with all these stories, you know, there are definitely varieties of what it looks like, what its powers were, as I said, but it also became more and more about like being related to like fishermen. And so it became common to limit the dragger to like the ghost of a dead fisherman. So who's like drifted out to sea, wasn't able to be buried, you know, in a Christian way. This kind of version feels very like, I don't know, it looks very like Davy Jones's crew in Pirates of the Caribbean to me, all the pictures.
Got it.
So it's like, you know, they're either in a leather jacket or, you know, dressed kind of in, you know, what I would say is like maybe more piratey kind of clothes, or I guess fisherman clothes. But they would have like seaweed vases for the heads. Very, again, you know, Davy Jones. So this kind of fisherman idea is found in like the northernmost part of Norway, where obviously there's like a lot more fishing and fisherman kinds of lifestyle anyway. But they have eyes that are glowing with green light, and rotting seaweed, barnacles, and dead sea creatures cling to their bodies. They can't speak, but they do make gurgling noises that sound kind of like they're, you know, full of water, which is thrilling. and these dragger might even like, this also feels similar to other stories, but would might be like drag corpses of those that they kill down into the water, making more draggers, making, you know, populating the ocean with more dead. This is my favorite. These kind can be stopped by singing a well-performed sea shanty or a call and response work song. So,
but only a well-performed one.
If it's bad,
it's gotta be good.
If it's bad, there's no problem.
If you're out of key, you're dead.
But the best is that they stop to like listen in reverie. Like they're like, that's why it has to be good, because they have to be like, wow, what a song.
Oh wow. That's crazy. I like that.
I like it too. And then some, in some versions, they've even been seen moaning along, unable to sing the words, but trying their best.
Wow. Like a singing zombie.
A singing zombie. So that doesn't last very long, and they will go back to attacking, as I said, probably if it's a bad version too. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say. I will say they are in pop culture. Dragaer himself appear in the Elder Scrolls video game series, as well as the God of War video game. And then there is a 2018 Swedish fantasy movie called Drag, and Drag it's has Draugr in it. And then most recently, The Northman in 2022, which I am so sorry I didn't see. So I watched like a YouTube of the Draugr scene, and it's pretty cool. But you know, the hero and the Northman has to fight one of them to get a sword, which is pretty cool. Do you
That's
remember that
awesome.
movie with Nicole Kidman and stuff? I don't know.
What's it called again?
I want to say it's called The Northmen. I want to say it's
Oh, I
like,
didn't see it. I
yeah,
didn't see
but
it, but
you,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'm like, I want to
It
say
was like
it's
kind of
the,
scary.
yeah, it's Robert Eggers, the guy that did The
Yeah, that's
Witch,
right. That's
and
right. Yeah. I never
yeah.
saw it.
But if you see it, a Draugr's in it, so
Oh, okay.
everyone take note. But anyway, that's it for me this week.
Nice. I'm excited to see some photos of this one, which we'll put on the
Yeah,
Instagram, of course.
we definitely will.
Yes.
Me
And I guess
too.
that's it. Okay. Well,
Yes.
nice to be
Thank you
back.
all for listening.
Yeah. And have a nice scream. Bye.
We hope you have some sweet, sweet nightmares.
I did not just say that. I haven't filmed a YouTube video in like 6 months. Where did that even come from? Like
Came
the
from the
depths of
depths
my
of your.
subconscious.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna leave it in. It's too funny.
Oh my God.
So confident. Have a nice scream.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, adios. All right, bye.